All right, guys, let's continue the service tonight in a word of prayer, okay? Father God, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we worship you tonight. We love you because you first loved us. God, we thank you for giving us new breath this morning. We thank you for new life on this earth today. But God, most of all, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. We just want to say thank you tonight. And we love you so very much. You gave us the very biggest and best gift of all, the gift of eternal life. And we want to worship you in saying thank you. And God, I just pray that you have your way in the service tonight. I just pray that you speak your words to these people, Father God. They'd be able to take something away from this service that they could use for the rest of their lives. And God, I thank you that you show them this week, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, how valuable, how precious they are to you. That they are worth more to you than all the gold and all the silver in the earth. They are precious in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, I had been doing this series over about the last month and a half, the last 7 weeks, called Growing in God. Growing in your spiritual relationship with God. Guys, when you were born out of your mother's womb, you were born as a baby into this world. But over the process of years, you matured from a baby into an adolescent and eventually into an adult, right? Giving back to society. Well, guys, guess what? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born as a baby into the kingdom of God. And the question tonight is this. Does God want you to remain as a baby in His kingdom? Does He? No, He wants you to mature into spiritual adulthood in your walk with Him. Amen? Amen? And we talked about a variety of spiritual disciplines in growing in your spiritual walk with God, in becoming a mature spiritual adult in His kingdom, guys. And last week we talked about the spiritual discipline of worship. A lot of people in this world worship, but they're not worshiping God. You know, whatever you invest a lot of your time, your resources, and your money into, in a sense, you're worshiping. It becomes your idol. And people, you guys, we see it every day. People invest their time and their resources into houses, into cars, into money, and even into depression and self-pity. And it becomes their idol. But God is second to none. He says, you will have no other gods besides me. He is the only one worthy, guys, of our worship. Amen? Amen? What does it mean to worship? When you think of the word worship, think of love for God. Why do we worship? Why do we love God? Because He first loved us in sending His very best 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. Amen? And tonight, guys, I'd like to talk about reaching out to God tonight. The spiritual discipline of reaching out to God by giving. Actually, guys, if you think about it, this message is a spin-off of last week's message because giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship to God. Let's look at what God says from the very beginning of time. In Genesis 8:22, after He sent the flood and it dried up, this is what He says in Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Genesis 8:22. As long as this earth is in existence, let's concentrate on the first part of the verse. Seed time and harvest will never cease. Giving is a spiritual law. Giving and receiving will never cease as long as this earth is in existence. Guys, the law of giving is a law that God has put into effect, a spiritual law that cannot be done away with.
How many know that the law of gravity, the natural law of gravity, cannot be done away with? If you stand at the top of this building and you jump off, what's going to happen? You're going to hit the ground pretty hard, right? You can't do away with the law of gravity. It's the same thing with the law of giving and receiving. You cannot do away with it. As long as this earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be giving and receiving. You know, as I was growing up, my grandfather owned a home in New York City. And on the side of this house, he had a plot of land. And he planted all kinds of seeds. Planted tomatoes. He planted green bean seeds. He planted squash seeds, guys. And just after a couple of months, those seeds produced an awesome harvest of squash, of green beans, of tomatoes. You know, when you plant apple seeds, what do you get?
Apples.
Exactly. You get apples. If you plant seeds of forgiveness, what do you get when you offend somebody else? You get forgiveness in return, right? Guys, it works in every area of life. Whatever a man, whatever a woman sows, that also shall they reap. I want to make this point to you tonight. God, the creator of this universe, does not ask us to do anything that he would not do. Let me say that again. God does not ask us to do anything that he would not do. What did God do 2,000 years ago? Talking about the law of giving tonight. What did he do? He gave his very best 2,000 years ago. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God took Jesus, the son, from the beauty of heaven, and he gave him into this earth for 33 years. Amen? Let's look at John 3:16. John 3:16. Let's study that for just a minute. See, Mark, Luke, and John 3:16. John 3:16. Let's look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The question tonight is this, important question. Why did God give? Why did God give?
Because he loved.
Because he loved. God's motive for giving was love. What does the Word of God say? God is not willing that any would perish in hell. God loves you guys so very much, so he gave Jesus. And in giving Jesus out of his love, he received us into his kingdom. Amen? That was the motive of God for giving. It was love for you and for me. Amen? Guys, the question tonight is this then. Why should we give? Why do we give back to God? You know, in these circles here, you hear a lot about giving. And a lot of times it's preached with the motivation in order to receive. You give in order to receive. But guys, who are we imitators of? Paul the Apostle wrote in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of whom? Be imitators of God. And God gave because he what? Because he loved. So why should we give back to God the things he has given unto us? Because we what? Because we love God. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? Our only motive for giving to God should be our love for him. Amen? You see, giving is an act of worship. When you think of the word worship, think of love. I worship God, I love God, because he first loved me in giving Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. And my way of saying, God, I thank you for your Son, your way of saying thank you back to God is by giving to him what he requires for you to give. Does that make sense? We worship, we love God because he first loved us. He gave to us. And our way of saying, God, I thank you for giving to me, is by me giving you back what you require. We give out of the motive of love. You know, it's been taught and we've heard it that you give, you give, you give in order to receive, receive, receive. Guys, I'm here to tell you tonight that that is selfish giving. What is God calling us to? God is calling us to selfless giving. Giving with one motive, our love for God. Amen? Why do we give financially into the kingdom of God? Because we love God, right? Because we love Him. And what's the natural result of giving out of our love for God? The natural result is receiving back a harvest from the seeds that you sow. I want to talk tonight about a certain type of giving. I mentioned it just a minute ago. And it's financial giving. And you know, you guys may be thinking tonight, well, Jonathan, I'm here at the Salvation Army. I'm a person so much in need myself. I have no money. What can I give? I only have a few dollars. I've got 10 bucks to my name. I've got $20. What do I have to give? Guys, guess what? We are all required in the kingdom of God to give. Nobody is exempt from giving back to God what He requires. It's a message, a spiritual discipline that we need to practice. Now the question tonight is this. How much do you give? How much do you give back to God of your financial resources? How much do you give? You give a tithe. And a tithe from the original language means a tenth or 10%. So if you have $100, what do you give back to God? $10. You give $10. If you've got $50, what do you give back to God? $5. You give Him $5. If you got $10, what do you give back to God? You give $1. If you've got $1 to your name, what do you give to God? 10 cents, right? If you got a dollar, right? If you've got 10 cents to your names, guys, what do you give back to God? You give Him back a tithe. You give Him back that penny. And it's big in the sight of God. It's great in God's sight. Let's turn to the very last book of the Old Testament. Of the Old Testament. You may not have a lot, but you've got to give from the little that you have out of your love for God. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Because this is what God says through the prophet. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. In other words, he was saying, you have disobeyed me. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. In other words, he's saying in context, return to me by obeying what I tell you to do. Then verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations, in verse 12, will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. How do we return back to God as the prophet spoke? How do you return back to God, guys? You return back to God by obeying Him. And the way that we evidence that we obey, that we love God, one of the ways that we show God that we love Him is by obeying Him. And He commands us in Malachi 3 to obey Him by giving our tithe. Guys, nobody is exempt, is free from giving God 10% back of what he or she has. You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, that's in the Old Testament. That's in Malachi. Is there proof in the New Testament? Yes. Yes, there is. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, the hypocrites. This is what he says in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth or a tithe of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And this is what he says in the last part of the verse. You should have practiced the latter, in other words, mercy, justice, and faithfulness, without neglecting the former. So in other words, what was God saying in Matthew 23:23? I want you to practice mercy, justice, and faithfulness, as well as to give your tithe. Amen? So he tells us right here in the New Testament, Matthew 23:23 is proof that today in the New Covenant, we still are to tithe back to God. Guys, listen. Everything that we have, relationships, material things, or even money, where did it come from? In the first place, think about it. It came from God. What does Haggai 2:8 say? It says, the silver and the gold is mine. Everything in this earth, guys, is God's. If you're not giving back to God his tithe, guess what? You're looking at your money or whatever you may have as an owner or a possessor. But guys, we are not possessors or owners of anything. We are just stewards. What is a steward? Anybody know what a steward is? A steward is a caretaker or a manager. You may have only $10 to your name, but ultimately, where did it come from? Came from God. It's God who gives us the power to get wealth. You don't own or possess that $10. God possesses it. You're just a manager. And God is saying, just give me back a tenth or 10% what I have originally given you. Does that make sense tonight? Giving back to God what is already his. And again, you might be wondering tonight, well, Jonathan, how can I give when I don't have much to give, like the Macedonian churches did? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1-7. The Macedonian churches who gave out of their poverty. Tonight you might feel like those in the Macedonian churches. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. What service? Giving. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves. First to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of what? Giving. What did the Macedonian churches do? You may feel like them tonight. You may feel like you're in extreme poverty, in dire need. But what did they do? They gave back to God what was his. Guys, we're to do the same thing. You may be in dire need tonight, but you're to give back to God what he requires. And that's a portion, a percentage of the money that you have. Why do you give it back to God? Is it out of duty? What did we talk about just earlier? It's out of what? What's the motive for giving back to God? It's love. Because he gave us Jesus. He loved us first. Our way of saying thank you is, God, I want to give back to you what you're telling me to give back. And as you do that, the natural result is that you will receive a harvest from the seeds you plant. From the seeds you plant. You know, the size of the gift does not matter as much as the sacrifice in giving your tithe. Look at verse 12 in the same chapter. Look at this. He says, "For if the willingness to give is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." Guys, $1 out of 10 is just as big a sacrifice as $1,000 out of 10,000. Why? They're both tithes. They're both 10%. A dollar, if you only have $10 and you give a dollar, that is just as great a sacrifice in the eyes of God as somebody who has $10,000 and gives $1,000. The size of the gift or the tithe is not as important in the eyes of God as the sacrifice that it took to give it. No gift is too small in the eyes of God. And remember, guys, God loves a cheerful giver. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." In 2002, guys, I received a gift of $1,000. I'll give you a personal illustration here. Received a gift of $1,000, and God spoke to me and said, "Give 20% of it away." It's like he said, "Take the tithe and double it. Give 200 of that away to another ministry." So I received this gift of $1,000 into my ministry, and I wrote a check of $200 into another ministry, 20%. Well, guys, shortly after that, maybe a month or a month and a half later, guess what? I received an unexpected check of $2,000 as a gift into the ministry, along with other numerous gifts. But you can't outgive God, guys. When he tells you to give, give out of your love for him, and the natural outflow will be receiving back what God has for you to get. Alrighty? How do you give into the kingdom of God, guys? How are you able to give into God's kingdom? How can you do it? How do you do it? How many here go to a local church in town? Maybe Victory Christian Center. Some of us. Well, guys, on Sunday morning when the tithes and offerings are being collected, you know what? If you have $5 in your pocket, give God 50 cents of it. It's 10%. If you got $100 in your pocket, give God 10%. Give him 10 back. You know, guys, you can give at a service like this. And tonight we'll give you the opportunity to do that. There's a little cardboard box in the back. It's got Bibles in it. You can just, if you've got a tithe or an offering you want to give, just give it. It's not, we're not taking it from you because we want money from you. No, that's not it. It's your act of worship towards God. It's saying, "God, I love you. And the way I'm demonstrating my love to you tonight is by giving you this tithe off the money I have. Because you first loved me." And God will multiply. The natural result, outflow, will be receiving back a harvest from the seed you planted. You guys may have absolutely no money in your hands. Then what can you give? You can give of your time to another ministry or to somebody in greater need than you. Your time. Because sometimes, you know, we've heard it said in the world that sometimes time equals money. So you may not have any money in your hands. Then donate your time, a tenth of your time, to helping those less fortunate than yourself. Does that make sense? Read a little story here tonight out of this book here. It's concerning a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. Let's see here. Talks about the five missionaries back in the 1950s who went to Ecuador to minister to the Aucca Indians. Says this: a few weeks later, Jim and the four others landed on a small stretch of beach on the Cure-Array River and set up camp. There they made contact with three Aucans, a man and two women who seemed to be friendly and receptive. And in the following days, they met with several others. They told their wives by radio that they seemed to maybe be making significant progress in befriending the tribe. Then a few days later, the men failed to check in with the base camp at the appointed time. Their wives waited in vain to hear from them. Minutes passed, then hours, then a day. Elizabeth and the others feared the worst, the five wives. A search party went out to look for the men and radioed back bad news. They had spotted the body of a white man floating in the river. The searchers found the men one by one. With each, it was the same. He had been slashed with Aucan spears. All five of the missionary men were dead.
back in the early 50s. Under those circumstances, many people in Elizabeth Elliot's shoes would have gone home. It's one thing to be willing to give up a comfortable life in the U.S. to help other people. It's quite another thing to give up your spouse. But Elliot had a truly generous heart. Despite her terrible loss, she still wanted to help the people of Ecuador. She stayed and served the Quechuans with whom she was living. What happened after that is even more remarkable. Other missionaries continued trying to make contact with an Aucan village. And after a couple of years, they succeeded. Immediately, Elizabeth Elliot rushed into the village. Was it to seek revenge? No. Was it to work with the people there and serve them? Elliot lived and worked among the Aucan people for 2 years. She gave of her time. She had no money, but she gave her time. And many of them gladly accepted the message of God's love she carried, including two of the seven men who had killed her husband. See, she had no money, but what did she give? Back to these Indians who killed her husband. She gave her time. Guys, it's the same way maybe with you tonight. You may not have any money, but tithe your time. Give a tenth of your time back to God. And you'll be surprised with what God can do. Remember Elijah and the widow? 1 Kings 17. She's like, I'm ready to make a meal for my son and for me, and we're going to die. Elijah said, first make a little bit of bread for me. Give it to me. A little bit of bread. From the oil and the flour that you have. And you'll have an abundant harvest. So what did the woman do? She took the little bit of oil and the flour. She made a cake. She gave it to Elijah out of, I believe, her love for God. She was giving to the man of God. And she had an abundant harvest off the seeds she planted, guys. You could do the same. You may feel like the widow woman tonight. Like you've got nothing to give, but you've got something. If you don't have money, you've got time. So guys, I want to encourage you in this discipline of giving back to God financially. Doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are. Everyone in the kingdom of God is required to give back financially to God's work. You don't have to give tonight. If you want to, you can. Don't feel obligated. But if you're going to a church on Sunday mornings, make sure that you're giving a tenth of what you have. So let's say this. Let's say you make $250 in a week, right? Or $200. And your expense, say you make $200, your expenses are $100. What are you left with? $100, right? How much do you give back to God? 10. 10% of 100 is 10. If you want to give it on the gross, you can. 20. Sure. If you make $250 in a week and you say, God, I want to give you the first 10% of the $250, you give him $25, guys. Give it back to God. Giving him 10%. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions, any comments here tonight? I have a couple of minutes. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to add that if all you ever do is pay your time, it's
not going to
rebuke the power of your soul.
And it says that where? Malachi chapter 3, right? What's that? Somewhere in the Bible, okay, Malachi 3. So giving back to God, reaching out to God, guys, by your giving. Doesn't matter how much you have. God is looking for equal sacrifices, not equal gifts. Amen? So guys, tonight if you want to give into the ministry, there's that cardboard box. You can give if you'd like. If you want to give at your church on Sunday, give at your church. But make sure you're sowing financially into the kingdom of God. As long as the earth remains, there will be giving and
receiving.
Part of growing up is doing what, guys? What does a baby do? He's always on the receiving end, right? Me, 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 me. My name is Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me, right? A little baby is always on the receiving end. But what does an adult do? An adult gives back into society, right? Gives back to others that he can give back to. A child is always taking. So guys, if you really want to grow spiritually in your walk with God, you've got to start giving back to Him out of your love for Him. What He requires you to give, and that is a tithe. 10% of what you have in your hands. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? We got to do it, guys. Nobody is exempt or free from giving financially into the kingdom of God. Anybody have any comments, any questions tonight? Anything you'd like to add? Anybody? Anybody? Alrighty.